little bit of Word of God. Are you guys with me tonight? Now, because we've got so many different things going on, I'm going to come down here because I don't like being up there. Because we got so many different things tonight, I got something good for you. It's pretty simple. It's pretty basic. But I believe that given the occasion, given the season, I believe that it's a good word. Is there any possibility? There we go. They're coming. Any possibility getting them lights that are right here on? Those ones. Ah, there we go. I can see my notes. So, hey, are you guys ready to get into the Word of the Lord tonight? I'm going to wear my hat a little informal. Is that all right? All right, there we go. It's making my head itch. Hey, so listen, before we get into the Word of the Lord tonight, I want to do one thing. I want to go before the Lord in prayer. So if you guys would join with me in honoring the Lord, let's stand as we go before the Lord in prayer tonight. Father God, we just come before you today, Lord, and we're just so grateful for the opportunity that we have to come into church to have a good time, Father, to celebrate, you know, our youth and our age, Father, to celebrate the good times, Father, the lightheartedness of our lives, Father, and we just ask that tonight as we come and we have a good time, Lord, that we ask that your presence would be in the midst of us, Lord. We don't come into this place to hear from a man, or we don't come into this place to hear from a woman or from a band or any other thing like that, God, but we come into this place to hear from you, Father, and we're so grateful for the opportunity to come into the house of the Lord and hear your word tonight. And God, we ask that your presence would be amongst us, that your anointing would fill this room. Father, we ask that you would open our eyes to see your word, Lord, and your ears to hear what you have caused us to hear tonight, Father. And we give you the praise, and we give you the glory, and we give you the honor. In Jesus' mighty name, we all said, amen. All righty. Hey, listen, quickly tonight, I've got a short and I've got a simple message, but I believe it's good for the season. I'm going to get rid of my questions. So if you've got your Bibles, we're going to continue in John the 15th chapter. So if you've got your Bibles, let's move to John the 15th chapter. You could turn those pages so I could hear it, so at least it sounds like somebody's got their Bible. If you don't have your Bible, there we go, I hear some pages. Okay, all right. Don't rip the page out of your Bible, Phil. Okay, John the 15th chapter. We're going to John the 15th chapter, and we're going to continue on where we picked off last week, where Pastor Joey left us off last week, and I'm going to read you verse number 12. I don't believe it's going to be on the overhead, but I'm going to put verse number 13 up there. So verse number 12 says, this is Jesus speaking, if you remember, to the disciples as they're walking through the vineyard in the garden, and Jesus is speaking to them about being the vine and they being the branches and bearing fruit. You recall that. Now we get into the topic of love, and we've spent a couple of weeks on love and how we as Christians ought to love one another. Pastor Joey preached a great message last week about it, and I'm just going to pick up on verse number 12. This is my commandment, Jesus speaking to his disciples says, that you love one another as I have loved you. We know that. We've heard that in John the 13th chapter, verse number 34. Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. So Jesus has already introduced his concept to the disciples. He's already introduced his concept that love prevails over everything else. Love is the ultimate sacrifice. Love is the ultimate example that God has set for us. So verse number 13 picks up, and Jesus is writing or is speaking, and he says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Now we're going to kind of pick up on that tonight. I want to talk to you a little bit of subject about the greatest love that we have ever seen, the greatest love that we have ever known, I guess it would be that, or we have ever knew. The greatest love we ever knew, that's it, is the title for tonight's message. But, you know, speaking of, you know, a couple weeks ago, I had made the mention of, you know, the example that Jesus Christ set before us in the 10th and 11th verse. He says, if you abide in my words, you know, my love, you know, you will abide in my love. And Jesus says, if you keep my commandments. And then he goes on to say that no greater love is there than that he who lays himself down for his friends. And so, you know, remember we were talking about the example of love and Jesus' example and the fact that he laid himself down. And we brought up the subject, well, does that mean that we have to lay ourselves down? Does that mean that we have to go to our cross or whatever it is and die? And, you know, I brought the interesting subject of the fact that, you know, we may not have to die to ourselves or die for somebody else, but we may have to die to ourselves for somebody else. And I'm going to kind of leave it at that. I'm not going to build off of that. I'd kind of considered maybe I should build a message off of that kind of deeper subject and dig a little deeper. But I think the comment alone, I think the statement alone, that is in our Christian walks, we don't necessarily have to die for somebody else. We may not have that opportunity, or I wouldn't even call it really an opportunity. I mean, Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane sweating blood, not asking God, you know, for the cup to pass if that's the possible. So, you know, if we have the the situation in which we are to die for somebody else. That's a tough call for us to make. But does that mean that each and every one of us have to do that? Or more so for us to die to ourselves, to die to our flesh, to die to our wants and our desires, and maybe our dreams and whatever it might be, so that somebody else might be built up? So Jesus says that greater love has no one than a man to lay down his life for his friends. So are we, the Christians, the church, you and I, each and every one of us, are we willing to lay down our lives for our friends? Or lay down our wants, our desires, our life. You know, somebody says, get a life. You know what I mean? Our life. So we're gonna continue on that. And tonight, I want to talk about the greatest love we ever knew. You know, on the eve of the night, it's not the eve, it's the eve of the eve of the eve of the eve of Halloween, right? Halloween is it's like three eves away. So on the weekend of Halloween, we'll just go that way, it's a little easier to say. You know, on the weekend of the holiday, I guess if you want to call it that, that, you know, everybody seems to go nuts over. I don't know if you guys have noticed it, man, people just go crazy over Halloween. I don't know if it's dressing up. I don't know if it's the candy that's influenced by it. But whatever it is, there is something about this holiday. You can't deny. You can't say that you haven't seen it. You can't say that you don't know it. I mean, on both sides of me, I've got skulls. And of my house, I've got skulls and crossbones and graves in my neighbor's yards. And it's like I feel like I'm living in a cemetery right now, and I can't wait for November to come around, so it's like I can finally get those headstones and one of these guys has got this skull that's like popping out of the ground. It looks like an arm. It's like, golly. Anyways, on the eve of the night where the world celebrates death and darkness, I want to talk about the greatest love we ever knew. And I want to talk about celebrating life and love. So the world is going to celebrate death and darkness of goblins and zombies and whatever it might be. But I want to talk to you about tonight about life and love, and about the greatest love that we ever knew. And tonight I want to talk to you really shortly, just really quickly, very briefly. I've got three verses for you tonight, very briefly, easy for you to take home, basic knowledge. But I want to talk tonight about God's great love, and looking at the example of God's great love, and how we, as Christians, are to follow in the example that God gave for us, his great love, the love that he bestowed upon us, his children. You know, Pastor Joey brought Judah up. He called Bjorn up, so that he could showcase his son. And God gave us the example of his great love through his son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ says to abide in his love, to follow after his commandments, to love one another as he has loved us. So Jesus Christ has given us the ultimate example of love. So tonight I want to take a look at the ultimate example of love, of the example that God gave to us, and let's apply it to our lives, especially on this weekend of darkness, on this weekend of celebrating death and destruction, and this weekend that everybody steps up and everybody kind of goes crazy and forgets where they were. I want to talk to you about God's great love. Are you guys with me tonight? So tonight we're talking about God's great love. I got three simple points for you, and I got three simple verses for you. I mean, these verses are not like crazy. They're not going to be like, man, Pastor Luke, where did that verse come from? When I start reading them, you're going to be able to finish them. But tonight we're talking about God's great love, and I want to give you three simple points, and then at the end we're going to wrap it up on how we, going back to verse number 12, can love one another as he has loved us. So number one tonight, in God's great love, he sent his prize. God sent his prize. God the Father sent Jesus Christ, his son, to this world for our salvation. Now you think about it, you know, we had just had a theological discussion yesterday. It was kind of fun with all the pastors around the church. We got a little deep, and we started talking about some subjects and a topic that, you know, from pastor to pastor varied because it was very deep theologically. But I love it. In Romans, the 11th chapter, it says, who has ever given counsel to God? Who has ever given something to God that he might give back? The fact of the matter is that we, as humans, we as a finite being mean that we have a beginning and we have an end. We were born, and at some point in our life, we are going to die. We, as finite beings, try to comprehend God, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the omnipotent, omniscient, all-knowing, all-being, everywhere at the same place. We try to comprehend God to our own understanding. And so God sent his son, Jesus Christ. Now you think about it, though. You know, when Adam and Eve we're in the garden, and you know the story, and the snake begins to deceive Eve, and Eve takes of the fruit, she passes the fruit over to Adam, Adam takes of the fruit, and boom, they're naked, right? Now all of a sudden, the fall of man. Now all of a sudden, man is disconnected from God, and now something has to happen. Now let's talk about it for a minute. God is God, right? God told Job, you guys know the story of Job. Some of you may not know the story of Job. Job is a person who experienced incredible hard times. And as Job is beginning to, he's not necessarily complaining to God, but he's beginning to share his heart with God in these hard times. And God shares to Job and he says, listen, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Where were you when I stretched out the universe in my hand? So God's telling Job, he's saying, listen, man, I'm going to put you in your place. You are a finite being. You may not understand me. So let's talk about this for a minute. Us as finite beings trying to understand God, couldn't God therefore then do anything he wanted to redeem mankind? We were separated from God from the fall of man. There's been a chasm between us and God. We are born with a sin nature. It's evident, if not more evident than on any other weekend of the year, I couldn't say. But we are separated from God. There is a lack between us and God. And God said, listen, there is something that needs to be done so that man could be reconciled to me. So couldn't God just say, all right, let's make it right. Boom, you're reconciled. There we go. But God said, no, I'm going to give you something to show as a father to a son, as a parent to a child, that I'm going to love you more than anything that you can ever desire. And so God sent his prize. God didn't just say, okay, it's good. God didn't just give us, you know, the Ten Commandments. And he said, if you live by the Ten Commandments, boom, thou shalt be saved. No, God said, listen, I'm going to send my son, my prize. And if you guys got your Bibles, we can turn just a couple pages back to John, the third chapter. Verse, guess what? Number 16. John, the third chapter, verse number 16. I'm going to go through a little bit more. Most young Christians could probably memorize John 3:16. Maybe even if you're advanced in your Christianity, might be able to quote John 17, 3:17. But I'm going to continue going on because I bet you most people are like, I don't know what 18 says. Verse number 16, for God so loved the world that what? He gave his only begotten son. His only begotten son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He didn't just give an angel. He didn't give the archangel. He didn't send Gabriel. He didn't send Michael. He didn't say, you know what? Satan was cast out of heaven. I love the world so much that I'm going to sacrifice that punk for you. No. Which, shoot, that would have been great, right? So anyways, God says, listen, I want to show you the ultimate example of love, that I hold you, I esteem you higher than anything else on this place, higher than any star in this galaxy, any planets in the universe. I esteem you above everything else in the sense that I'm going to give you what cost me the most. In John, the third chapter, he says that he gave his only begotten son. His only begotten son, the deity of Jesus Christ, the fact that Jesus Christ is in line with God and there is only him. There is no Jesus Christ and his brother Satan like some other religions might tell you. Jesus Christ, his only begotten son. He sent him down to this place for you and I, born in a manger to smell the stink of lambs and sheep and cow. Instead of, you know, he wasn't born in some castle. He wasn't born in some, you know, the Ritz-Carlton. He wasn't born with the modern day amenities that we have today. Jesus Christ was born of a manger. You know who visited him? Were shepherds. Stinky shepherds that didn't even take showers or nothing like that. I mean, they were roamers. They were nomadic people. The three wise men visited him. He gave his only begotten son so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. Verse number 18 says that he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. Why? Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten son. Again, he emphasizes that point. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. and men loved darkness rather than light. Isn't that an interesting thing? He says that men naturally have loved darkness rather than light. We like to revel. We like to live. We like to hang out in that darkness. You know, it's cool, man. It's fun to put those tombstones on our front door. It's fun to hang the skeletons. And you got a skeleton on your front door. I'm not condemning you. I'm saying that's what we like to do. And he says, man liked living in darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone participating in evil hates the light, and light does not come from the light, lest his deeds would be exposed. Like a cockroach doesn't love the light. What is good about a cockroach? When you find a cockroach in your house, when you find a cockroach in your kitchen drawer, do you say, great, awesome, they're cleaning up after me. I must have left some crumbs out. They gonna take care of it. Now why don't got a vacuum? No. When you see cockroaches, you know, uh-oh, I got a problem, because if there's one, there's multiple. And the same concept here about evil and living in darkness. He says if we all wanted to live in darkness, we want to stay in darkness. Why? Because like a cockroach, when you turn the light off, darkness is exposed. Evil is exposed for what it truly is, disgusting and abominable. And he says, but I came to bring light so that evil... Their deeds were evil. Everyone practicing evil hates the light, does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes from the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done by God. The Bible tells us in the book of Matthew that we are the city on a hill, a light, so that the world could see, so that our deeds might show the glory of God in our life, to reflect the goodness and the love of God, the ultimate gift that God said. You know, to love, and going to John the 12th chapter, or the verse number 12 in the 15th chapter, to love one another as he has loved us. How does that apply to us, that God gave his prize? God gave his most valuable possession. You know, King David in the book of Chronicles was going to purchase some livestock and some grain for a sacrifice to God. And the guy who realized, man, this is King David, he says, man, I'm going to hook you up. I'm going to give it to you, man. You're the king. You're the king. Take it. It's yours. It's your right. And King David in the book of Chronicles, I'm not going to put it up on the overhead, but it's a verse, 1 Chronicles in the 21st chapter. David says to the man, no, I've got to pay for it, because I won't ever give anything to God that doesn't cost me something. Now, how could we apply that to our life in loving somebody else as God has loved us? How about we give something that doesn't that would cost us something? Cost us a piece of our comfort. Cost us a piece of our, you know, our understanding. Cost us a piece of our faith. God, I don't want to love that person. God, I don't want to reach out. God, I don't want to do this. But you know what? It's going to cost me something. It's going to make me step out of my comfort zone. It's going to make me be somebody that I don't naturally feel like being, because we live in darkness. But because we're living in the light from Jesus Christ, who came to save us, that he might not condemn us, rather, but to save us. So looking at God's great love, first he gave his prize. We have got to offer something in the form of love that costs us something. You guys with me tonight? Number two, looking at God's great love, he loved us when we didn't deserve it. He loved us when we didn't deserve it. Now we're going to read a book, or we're going to read a passage in Scripture here. I find it so interesting. If you got your Bibles, let's turn to Romans, the 5th chapter, verse number 6. Romans 5, so you can turn a couple pages forward from John. Romans, the 5th chapter, we're going to look at verse number 6. Paul the Apostle writing says, For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died. For who? For the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. Here Paul the Apostle writes an interesting concept. It's the truth. It's fact. It's just how we as people are. He says, listen, scarcely, very rarely will you find that somebody would be willing to give their own life for somebody else who's a righteous man. If somebody was to come into this place and hold a gun to my head or a gun to Pastor Joey's head, very few people would jump in front of that to say, no, don't do it. He says, so scarcely would anybody die for a righteous man. And he says, even more so, you know, you might even find somebody who will die for a good man. Is it better for somebody like the Dalai Lama, let's say, good in the world's numbers, good in the world's opinions and views? Would it be better to die so that somebody like the Dalai Lama can continue to live so that there might be peace in the earth? He says, so you might even find somebody willing to die for a good man. Somebody very scarcely would die for a righteous man. You might find somebody to die for a good man. But then he brings an interesting concept. And he says, verse number 8, but God demonstrates his love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Such an interesting concept. He says, nobody would really want to give their life for a righteous man. Very few people for a good man. But let's turn the table. Who would want to give their life for a filthy, disgusting man? Who would want to give their life for somebody that didn't even know that they were in jeopardy? Who would want to give their life for somebody that maybe their life was headed in a path of destruction? Who would want to give their life for somebody that had been addicted to drugs and that they had no hope in their life? Who would want to give their life that they were addicted to the things of this world? They were stuck in their own ways. They were following after what everybody else was saying was right because that's all they ever knew. Who would want to give their life for the average Joe? And he says, listen, God demonstrated his love towards us that he sent his son for us while we were still sinners. That's an interesting concept. Nobody wants to give their life for a righteous or a just man. Nobody wants to give their life for a good man. But Jesus Christ and the Lord, our Father, sent his Son to die on the cross for you and I while we were dirty in our sin, while we neglected in him our sin, while we didn't even know that we need him. He died for us so that we could be reconciled to him. Now, how can we apply that to our life? You know, we can do that. We can go. The act of love doesn't mean that you would scratch my back and I scratch your back. Sometimes that's how easy it is. You know, even in my own relationship with my loving wife, sometimes in marriage, some of you guys who are married can say, you know, especially after the years have gone by, that, you know, sometimes it's easy just to kind of get into a routine of life, and that's just how it is. And all of a sudden you find yourself, you know, like, oh, if I do something good for her, she'll do something good for me. Her birthday's in June, my birthday's in August, so I know that if I spend $300 on her birthday for a big event, now I'm going to get hooked up. But if I turn around and I spend $50, then man, I'm going to get nothing. And so many times we see love as that, like, oh, I'm going to hook you up, you hook me up, and then we're cool, right? We're cool. But Jesus says, how about you hook somebody up and not expect anything in return? How about you give love to somebody else and not expect that they even say thank you? How about you express the love of God to somebody else and maybe spit in your face or tell you that crap happens with the real word, not crap, instead of shift happens as you're passing out the flyers? That's love. When you give to somebody and don't expect anything in return. In that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Knowing that some of us would go all of our life while rejecting him. But those of us who would endure to the end, we would be saved. Those of us who would capture his grace and his salvation, we could ourselves be saved. Are you guys with me tonight? Number 3, finally tonight, he paid the ultimate price. Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price. In Titus, the second chapter, we're going to continue on. You can keep turning back towards the book of Hebrews. If you've hit Hebrews, you've gone too far. So you can keep turning. It's a real small book. You'll probably pass over it within a couple of pages. Titus, the second chapter. Verse number 11 says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. To all men. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Interesting on this type of a weekend. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. What? Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Jesus Christ, that God, he gave his son, that he gave himself for us. He went willing to the cross for us, paid the ultimate price, death on the cross for you and I, that he might redeem us to him and call us a special people, a zealous people. The Bible tells us in the book of Peter that we are a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. No longer are we busted and disgusted. No longer does the past apply to us like we talked about just a moment ago of being addicted to drugs, being stuck in the party scene, being stuck in our own flesh. But now all of a sudden we have left that. Because he died for us, because he came and he gave himself to us that we might be reconciled to him. Now we are a peculiar people. We are a holy nation. We are a royal people. We are heirs and co-heirs with Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us. Why? Because he paid the ultimate price. I think about an example of how can we apply that to our life. And there was this grotesque, very gruesome, very graphic movie that I believe came out in the 90s, maybe the late 2000s, called Saving Private Ryan. And it was about World War II. It was very, very gory. It was probably the most gory movie I've ever seen. And it was about a group of men that were sent out to save the life of one of three brothers whom all had been killed in action. And this was the only one left. And this battalion or this regiment of men was sent out so that they might find this one man. And if you recall, if you've seen the movie, you know the story. At the end of the movie, they find him, they meet up with him. And the man's mission that they met up with was to hold the bridge at all costs so that the Germans wouldn't cross it. Because if the Germans crossed it, it would lead to a destruction for the army that's farther down. And so him and his men, there was a few men left. They were holding the bridge. And this battalion, this regiment of men were trying to pull him and say, come on, I don't care about your mission. Our mission is to save you. We're leaving. And he says, I'm not leaving my men. And if you recall the story, everybody on that battalion died for that Private Ryan. And the one scene at the end, The captain of the battalion is the only one left, and he's been shot. He's mortally wounded, and he's shooting at the tank, and the tank is destroyed by a plane that flies over and comes to the rescue. The military comes to the rescue at the last moment, and Ryan goes over. Private Ryan goes over to the captain, and he says, "Oh no, he's distraught that the captain has died." And the captain's last words to Private Ryan was this: "Earn this." And then he died. Imagine Jesus Christ on the cross, even though he said, Father, forgive them for their sins, for they know not what they do. And he says, God, into your hands I commit my soul. And he gives himself unto death so that we might be reconciled unto God. I think of that statement that captain made to that private in that movie. And he said, earn this. Jesus Christ on that cross to us says, listen, don't use this gift. Don't take this for vain. Don't take this for granted what's been paid for you. The blood, the cost, the sacrifice that's been paid that you might be reconciled to God. But he says, rather earn this. Live, love. He says, love one another as I have loved you. They didn't quite understand yet what he is talking about. But then on that cross, he says, love one another as I have loved you. To pay the ultimate price, to earn this, to do something with your life, church, to do something with your life, young adults, that doesn't just say, you know what? Great, I'm glad I raised my hand one time in church. I'm going to live my life the same way I always have for the rest of my life. I'm going to do nothing about it. I'm cool. I'm great. I'm handy. I'm happy. Why do I need to do anything else? But he says, no, love one another as I have loved you. If we, the church, would step up and rise up to be what God has called us to do, to love one another as he has loved us, can you imagine how effective we would be in this place? Now, I want to give a little rabbit tail. Tonight, that's all I've got, but I want to give you a little rabbit tail going back in, rabbit trail going into John, the 12th chapter, or 15th chapter, verse number 12. He says, love one another as I have loved you. You know, it's a shame in the sense that the world, that even some of the church, you know, celebrates this weekend or this holiday, Halloween, in the way that they do. I mean, it's a holiday that rejoices in demons, that rejoices in goblins and goats and whatever it might be. And, you know, it's been the church's reaction for centuries, for decades, I should say, rather, to curse it, to say this is something that we don't believe in, to hold up to. And but what that does, what does that do if a little kid comes to your door and says, hey, trick or treat, you only knew what it meant. You should get saved, little kids. Looking at the parents, no. Remember we talked about love versus tolerance, and there's a difference between loving people and a difference between tolerating. But the Bible tells us that God sent his son that we wouldn't be condemned, but that we would be in light. Why? Because we like living in darkness. Guys, let's do something with our lives. Let's live a light that reflects light and not darkness. Let's live a life that reflects what Titus says, that we would be redeemed from every lawless deed and purify himself, his own special people, so that we would be purified before God. You know, so this is a Halloween weekend. This is a weekend where people like to go out to parties. The costumes for the ladies seem to be getting shorter and shorter. You know, the costumes for the guys seem to be getting more provocative and gory. You know, and as a church, does that mean that we can't have fun? I mean, look, we're dressed up here tonight. But does that mean that as a church, as Christians, as representatives of God, as the light of the world, as God says, can there be a difference between us and them? Can we shine a light in a dark night? Instead of cursing the darkness, can we shine our light upon it? Like the Bible says that when the light is shined upon the darkness, it would be exposed. So why don't we extend the love of Christ to those who come to our doors, to those who are at the Halloween parties that we might be to? And why don't we, the church, the young adults, this next generation, why don't we pass on the gift that has been given to us, the love of Jesus Christ, the greatest love that we ever knew? You guys with me tonight? Did you guys get something out of that? Praise God.